You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Legal tampering period underway in the NFL. Big news yesterday. Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta. The running back market has been huge. Saquon Barkley to the Eagles. Aaron Jones to the Vikings today. Why? Because Josh Jacobs leaves the Raiders to go to the Green Bay Packers. Other quarterbacks of note, Jacoby Brissett goes to New England. Gardner Minshew to the Raiders, as well as Sam Darnold to the Minnesota Vikings. Justin Fields, still nothing, guys. And still no indication of anything going on right now with Justin Fields. Like, literally nothing.
Not even a big rumor that's percolating or a landing spot that we're all keeping an eye on. There's
not even to text nothing. You up? The you up text? Not the WYD?
Because he's awake. He's waiting right, for the text.
Right. I'm just saying.
Who's WYD.
Who is the team that is going to sit here and say, all right, fine, if it's down to like a fifth or a sixth, we'll just swoop in? Is there a team that would do that?
I love the suggestion earlier about the Rams. I think that's a great spot for him. I'm hoping that he goes somewhere where he has the time needed to rehabilitate the parts of his game that were messed up in Chicago, that he has somebody he can learn from, the right coach in place that can help his development, and the Rams feel like a great landing spot
for him.
And
we've seen that from the Rams, right? They did it last year with Baker Mayfield. They did it with Carson Wentz. Like, mm-hmm. They've been looking for one of those retread quarterbacks that they can bring into their system, and that can be the heir apparent to Matt Stafford, because the end is close to the beginning for Stafford, right? Like, he's on the back nine. As a matter of fact, he might be getting ready for the 19th hole with all of the injuries that he's had, including the neck being the latest one. Like, I'm not sure that this upcoming season won't be the last for Matt Stafford. So if that is the case, then the Rams giving away a mid-round draft pick to bring in Justin Fields and letting him sit behind a professional quarterback and learn from Stafford and Sean McVay, that seems to make all the sense in the world. I absolutely love it. Now, based on what a team would be giving up for Justin Fields, I think it's clear that they're not going to exercise his fifth-year option for $25 million. That decision is due in May. So this is a one-year, $3 million proposition, and you're essentially seeing whether or not this guy is going to be a fit long-term for your franchise. But I don't think there's any clear and obvious place for Justin Fields to be a starter as we sit here today.
Well, the clear and obvious place for the SEC champion in college basketball is in the NCAA tournament, and we are getting ready for the NCAA tournament. Tennessee is your SEC champion, and their head coach is Rick Barnes, and he joins us here on Unsportsmanlike with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you, 24-7, 14-4 in the SEC. And coach, I'm just looking at your games. You have now completed four straight games against ranked SEC opponents before the conference tournament even gets going. Have you ever seen a conference this good numerically in terms of the rankings?
No, I don't think so. I do think in my time in basketball, this is the very best year from top to bottom this SEC has ever had. And so that's really, I'm proud of our guys for being able to, you know, win the regular season with that. That was one of their goals. But the league is terrific. It really is. And, I mean, every night you go out, you know you're going to have to play well or you're going to get beat. But I think we've all gotten better by that. And the way the league had her schedule at the end of the year, I think they wanted the so-called preseason favorite teams to play each other, and that's pretty much what happened.
Coach, tough loss for your squad against Kentucky on Saturday, but what can your team learn from that loss as they get ready to go into the tournament?
Well, I don't want to take anything away from John's in Kentucky. They played really a terrific basketball game, but it was senior day, and our first 5 minutes of that game, we were way too emotional. I don't have a problem with guys playing with emotion and passion, but we were emotional guys that execute really almost flawlessly all the time. First couple possessions, didn't get where they were supposed to go, losing the ball out of bounds, and that would probably be the biggest takeaway as as we came down the stretch with these games that we were talking about here, every one of them was really difficult. And I thought we went about it in a really a good way mentally. But being senior night and so much hype around that and the game, we were just too emotional. And that locks you up. And when it locks you up like that, you just we missed some shots. We had some really good quality shots that we normally make that we missed. And that's what I attribute it to, because I just know how much our guys want to win and how hard they prepare. But to see them a little bit out of character because of, you know, the emotion of senior night is something that we'll take away. If we get back to a high-level game like that, I think that we'll go back on this and say, let's not be emotional. Let's go through the process we always go through and stay locked in.
I want to stick there for a second, Coach, because the tournament is larger than life. It's such a big stage. How do you keep your emotions in check, or what do you preach to your players about keeping their emotions in check as they enter the tournament?
It's just what we're talking about there, that you've got to prepare the game the way you have all year. You know, we've been on a routine all year, the way we did things. And now the routine's going to change here in the tournament as well. You know, we're not going to have, say, we have a much longer time to warm up before games. Now we probably get about 27 minutes, but it'll start this week in Nashville with the SEC tournament. And so everything that we've done up to this point, it's going to get tweaked a little bit, and it's no excuse. It is what it is. And so now we got to make sure that we don't lose sight of how we prepare our, you know, in terms of what we've done up to this point to have the success that we've had. And again, there's everything intensifies, as you said. You know, there's going to be more people around. And as the year goes on, we let that happen because we want to do everything we can once we get to this point that we're prepared for it. And like if you've never had TV boom hanging over you in a timeout or something like that, young guys, you'd never know how they're going to react to it. But we talk about it, and we've already talked about what I felt Saturday's game was about, and hopefully that we'll learn from it and be prepared for these, all the attention and all eyes on college basketball right now.
Coach, ahead of Selection Sunday, our resident bracketologist Joe Lenardi has your Tennessee team as the last number one seed in the NCAA tournament. I'm just curious from your perspective, how important is being a number one seed when it comes to your team being able to make a run to the Final Four?
Well, you know what? I've been a person that when you talk about seeds, and I explained this to the team a year ago, I think we had a pretty good seed last year, and next second round you play Duke. And once you get into that tournament, one thing about the NCAA tournament, if you're there, it means you're playing good basketball at the right time normally, especially when you get to the lower seeds, or, you know, the down there, they've won their conference tournaments. They're playing good basketball. You know, they're feeling good about it. And going back to the emotional part with the other teams, if you come to a tough year, you know, where are you mentally? All those things go through your mind as a coach when you're getting ready. But the fact of the matter is, you start the NCAA tournament with four teams to advance. You got a four-team tournament. You got your opponent, if you win, then get you to the second weekend. And so you got to stay focused on what's got you here and what you've done here. And obviously, you want the best seed you can get, but matchups are so important. A year ago, I thought that even after we had lost Zakai Ziegler, we knew that if we could, we thought we had a good draw with the bracket, because none of the teams that we played, like in the first two rounds, Lafayette, Louisiana, Duke, played with a lot of speed. And but if Purdue would have won, that would have been our next matchup. But the two teams that we looked at that could create some issues for us would have been Florida Gulf Coast, and I think it was that won. I can't remember who won the other game up there. Fairleigh Dixon, I think, made the runs that it was last year.
Yep.
And their speed would have really bothered us, because without Zakai Ziegler, we would have had a hard time with a pressing team. And so matchups become important. And but we're hoping now that we're going into a tournament where we've got everybody healthy, and we think we can play a lot of different ways this year. We knew in the tournament last year we had lost one of the ways that we could play. And so you look at matchups that way too. But with that said, whatever is in front of you now, you got to be ready to play. You got to be ready for a lot of unpredictable things. And, you know, the foul trouble, the longer timeouts, all those type things you have to deal with, because when you feel like you get some momentum going, those long TD timeouts can slow the game down a little bit. So it's different in some ways, but yet it's still the players have to play, and I hope that it goes your way.
Talk with Rick Barnes, head coach, Tennessee, potentially a one seed in the NCAA tournament here on Unsportsmanlike. Coach, let's finish with this. You've had one hell of a career. You have over 800 wins in your career, which is ridiculous. Coach, great players. Kevin Durant, obviously one of them at Texas. You know what's going to happen. You've heard the narrative around the NCAA tournament. Rick Barnes, NCAA tournament, been to the Final Four at one time. Is he going to get over the hump? How do you fight off the individual narrative versus the team narrative going into the tournament?
Well, I'm like anybody. I wish I could win every game off the coast. If I had my way, we'd have already won, 8, 9, 10 national championships. I mean, I want to win, and I know our players have always wanted to win, my record is what it is. I can't change it. I know that there's some teams that I'm proud of that getting to the NCAA tournament was a big thing, and how hard they worked to get there, and I've never taken that for granted to be a part of the NCAA tournament. There's people I know that were never able to do that in their career, and I feel for them because it's a wonderful thing, and especially for the players. I would say that, we've had three teams, maybe four, that I thought that could win the national championship, and I'm disappointed that we didn't get there and that many more times. But, my record personally is what it is, and I can't say anything about it other than that's what it is. All I know is that this group of guys, I think they've worked hard, and I want this group to put their best foot out there and see how good we are. And that's how I feel about it. Like I said, if I had anything to do with it, I'd have won every game. And personally, I wish I could have won every game. But I've learned a lot in the tournament, I can tell you that. I know early in my career that when I first got in there, I made it bigger than it should have been. And we just can't change what we're doing right now. You just stay with what you're doing and believe that if you're good enough to win it, you can win it. If you're good enough to advance, you can advance.
Coach, one of the most exciting players, undoubtedly, as we move into tournament season, has got to be your star, Dalton Connect, transferred from Northern Colorado. Did you think that he would be this good when you got him through the portal?
No, I don't think any of us knew that. What he's done this year is really remarkable, and it's really awesome for a great young man who he's very humble. Loves the game of basketball. He's in the gym all the time. But what I think speaks volumes for Dalton and for our team, we had an experienced team coming back with four or five guys that had played in big games, won a lot of games. And for him to choose to come to Tennessee, he never once asked about starting. He just said, I want to come. I want to try to be part of a team that I think will be a part of the NCAA tournament. I want to get coached hard. I want to get better defensively. And we knew we needed to add scoring to our team from a year ago. We've been in a lot of games, a lot of tournament games where scoring was hard for us, and we knew we needed to really concentrate on more getting that kind of player. And so what we did was bring him in, and during the summer he and people started talking about he and Jemiah Mashak going at each other the way they did, and they thought he could score. When I knew that he was maybe more than I thought was in our first exhibition game against Michigan State. He played harder defensively there than he had ever played in practice, and he made some just electrifying plays, and from there it kind of just took off.
Coach, thank you so much for a few minutes. Best of luck here entering the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you guys.
All right, there's Rick Barnes, head coach, Tennessee, potentially a one seed in the NCAA tournament, SEC champion. All right, coming up, day two of the legal tampering period continues. Big winners and losers from yesterday, and who's still left for today? We'll get to that next. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, Your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Somehow today, we have seemingly battled about the value of one Kirk Cousins.
Kirko Chains.
The New York-based members of the team.
You know you can't battle about the value of Kirk Cousins because this guy's made what?
That's true.
How much money is Kirk Cousins?
$300 million? How much of that is guaranteed?
Over 330 guaranteed.
So the New York-based
elite
team, which would be the three of us.
Elite.
All in on Kirk Cousins being well worth it for the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh my gosh.
But as we go to Vegas East in Bristol, Pat Costello and Nuno are not thrilled that we have said that this guy could potentially put them over the top in terms of winning a division. We haven't said that they're going to win a Super Bowl. Could they be in contention in the NFC? Sure, why not? But you guys are outraged at the idea that we simply are saying that that addition to that team with the rest of the roster puts them as the favorites to win the NFC South. Like, that is some sort of bold statement that we are making.
Yes, if you're paying someone for, granted, there's a lot of funny money, but right, like $90 million guaranteed at signing, right? Like, that's what he's getting. I expect more than just, hey, he's the best quarterback in the division and they can make the playoffs and then whatever happens, happens, and nothing ever is his fault. Like, and that's what we do with Kirk Cousins. Like, he's a champion at the bank. You know, like, he's a legend at the bank, as Bomani Jones would say. He's a legend at the bank. He's great businessman. But for a quarterback, I need you to actually win playoff games. You've been in there. You've been there twice. You're 1-2, and we destroy other quarterbacks who are probably better than him, based upon the fact that they haven't had success in the playoffs. So it's, let's give that same treatment to Kirk Cousins that we give to Tua, to Dak. Hell, if Jalen Hurts struggles next year, people like Pat are going to be like, get this guy off my team. It's time to move on. And we don't do that with Kirk Cousins. And it's just, I don't know why, because he shops at Kohl's. Like, he's a likable guy because he seems normal. Is that why we do this?
So,
you tell me, Canty, why we do this. You brought up my team and saying, just get in the playoffs. But guess what? I had a quarterback that I knew in those moments was going to make the right play. I don't know with Kirk Cousins if you have that. And that's all I'm saying.
Well, if you guys, okay, so you gave a qualification there. You said, give me a guy who's going to win in the playoffs. I have never heard you, Nuno, or you, Pat, suggest one time that the Atlanta Falcons should have signed Russell Wilson or Jimmy Garoppolo. Not once. Because if the qualification...
Because we don't believe in either of them either.
Well,
why would we suggest that?
Who do you... Because they've won in the playoffs.
But we don't think they're good anymore.
Okay. Like,
you're the only one who thinks they're good
that's
still.
That's not the point.
That is the point.
That's,
if they're not good enough, we wouldn't want them on the team.
Pat, Nuno just said, I need a guy who's good in the playoffs. Name me a player that is available currently that is good in the playoffs that the Atlanta Falcons could have brought in to be their quarterback. Name me one.
No, I don't know, but Kirk Cousins isn't one of them either.
Okay, so you'd rather have no one, which is fine.
No, I said Justin Fields. I didn't say no one.
Playoffs would be your line of demarcation.
I think that there's a better chance of Justin Fields having playoff success than Kirk Cousins.
Well, but you're utilizing the past to indicate the future.
So are you with Kirk Cousins?
I'm not fighting it off. You're suggesting a problem without a solution. And the problem you guys have suggested is he's not going to win in the playoffs. And then you're going to tell me Justin Fields is the answer?
I think there's at least as good of a chance for Justin Fields as Kirk Cousins.
But if playoff success is where you're going to go, why don't you success?
But that's the part I don't understand. You've quite literally never seen it from Justin Fields. So why would you think you're going to get it from him?
I don't understand.
Why do we think we're going to get it from Kirk Cousins?
Because we've
seen it. Same thing. No,
I've seen it. I've seen Kirk Cousins win a playoff game. I've seen him lead a team to the playoffs. I've seen him throw what? 4,000-yard plus passing seasons?
Yeah, $100 million for one playoff win in his career.
What's the most touchdown passes Justin Fields has had in the season? 17? Like, what are we talking about? That's the part where I don't, like, you much rather prefer Justin Fields over Kirk Cousins? You're going to prefer potential versus actually somebody that's done it?
Done what?
I just told you. I just
one
explained it to you.
One playoff win, Canty? That's
one
doing it?
One playoff
that's doing
win.
It.
It's a team
multiple
game.
Multiple playoff appearances. That's more than what you can say for Justin Fields. He ain't even had one winning season. So you're saying you prefer that option as opposed to Kirk Cousins?
Justin Fields doesn't even have a job right now, and Kirk Cousins is the biggest fish on the market. So last year, the Falcons as a team, 17 touchdowns the entire season. Kirk Cousins in 8 games, 18. Is that an improvement, guys? Is that an improvement?
It's an improvement.
And by the way, you could also still suggest go get Justin Fields too. Go get him. You want him? Nobody else wants him.
So you guys believe fully right now Kirk Cousins can win a Super Bowl with the Atlanta Falcons?
I just don't understand your debate, Pat. You're saying
I just don't believe in Kirk Cousins. I can't believe they'd pay him.
There's no debate that Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than Justin Fields. I don't understand where you're coming from with it. You just said Justin Fields. I'd rather go the route of Justin Fields over Kirk Cousins. Why?
Because at least he's young. At least there's outlook. Kirk Cousins is 36 coming off an Achilles injury. He's never won anything.
The outlook for a quarterback that nobody around the league wants in Justin Fields, you think it's better than having Kirk Cousins? I don't understand that.
I said I think it's at least equal. At least equal.
How?
And cheaper.
Well, it's definitely cheaper.
Who cares about it being cheaper? You're trying to win.
And Kirk Cousins is not that guy. He's never been that guy. He doesn't win.
You have to, when he wins. He actually does win.
He actually does win. Like, that's the thing. He actually does
Didn't
win.
Didn't they have 13-1 season two years ago?
2 years ago.
He actually does win.
They won more close games than anyone like in history of the sport.
Okay, so now we're moving the goalposts. Now you say, oh, well, yeah, he got into the playoffs.
How are we moving the goalposts?
You just said he doesn't win in the playoffs.
That's what I've been saying.
Justin Fields
for
doesn't
years.
Win at all. Justin, hold on. You're saying Kirk Cousins doesn't win in the playoffs. Justin Fields doesn't win at all. He doesn't win at all, Pat. And you prefer that guy over somebody you've seen have regular season success? I don't understand that.
Why, because he's younger and cheaper?
Yes.
Again, I still don't understand the playoff argument. Because you don't want any of the guys who've been successful in the playoffs.
But here's the cheaper part of the argument that I don't understand. Who is Kirk Cousins being on Atlanta keeping the Falcons from signing? Who is he keeping you from signing?
That's right.
Who is it? Like, where is the opportunity cost of Kirk Cousins hurting the Falcons relative to what Justin Fields cost? You keep talking about the price. It ain't your money, Pat.
All right.
It ain't.
So let's take Justin Fields out of there because I do think that might be a stretch there, right? Saying, but if you ask me as a fan, and the potential will get GMs fired, head coaches
no
fired,
doubt.
Right? It gets them fired. But it's, hey, you might make the playoffs, you maybe might win a game, or moving up and drafting one of these guys in the top 10, and all of a sudden you have your quarterback for the next decade and compete.
Like, That's the assumption that you think the quarterback is going to hit. And ain't none of them a sure thing.
Yeah,
and for a head coach in Raheem Morris, who struggled in his first time around at Tampa because Josh Freeman was his quarterback, like he told you as much at the combine. Like, he wants to make sure that they have competent quarterback play.
Yes.
And Kirk Cousins is going to give you that. Like, there's a reason why they have the third heaviest odds to win their division of anybody in the NFL behind the 49ers and behind the Chiefs. That's what Vegas is telling you they think about the signing of Kirk Cousins. This move gives them an advantage because they have the best quarterback in the NFC South.
But
that's the part of this I don't understand. Like, in order to do high-level winning, in order to win a Super Bowl – You got to be in the playoffs. The Falcons ain't been in the playoffs in the last, what, 6 or 7 years.
That's like saying Pat's the tallest guy in this control room because Javonte and I are on the 5'6". Like,
You know what you should do then?
You haven't been in the playoffs since 2017.
Use that example. You're suggesting that somebody, so if you're going to say we need to find the tallest guy in the control room, a gal in the control room, and you both are 5'6", you're actually suggesting getting somebody who's 5'5.5 with the hope that they grow. We're just going to get somebody that's 5'7 who we know is taller.
And then lose in the first round.
Well, we still win. We still win.
Here's the thing, and you're talking about winning. The Falcons haven't had a winning season since 2017.
But wow. Think
about it.
Not even in
the playoffs. They haven't had a winning season since 2017.
But all of their hypothetical plans, you can still do. The last 4 years
have been double-digit loss seasons. At some point, you got to change the losing. A part of winning a championship is having a championship culture. You know what gets in the way of that? Losing games.
And with the talent on this team and the division that they're in, if they didn't go out and make a move like this at quarterback, we would torch them.
No doubt.
We would say you have a huge opportunity right at your feet to go out and get a quarterback and put yourself in a better position to win the division, get into the playoffs, and make a run. And if they didn't do it, we would have crushed them.
I have a question quickly. I know we got a break in a second here, but Pat, last year, did you scream and yell that they should have signed Lamar Jackson or tried to?
I don't remember, honestly. Probably. I don't remember.
Because he had no playoff success at that point. So why would you want him?
He won an MVP.
But he had no playoff success. You haven't said MVP. Your entire argument is about playoff success.
So you think Kirk Cousins and Lamar Jackson are equally as good?
I think they've had equally as low playoff success before this season. Yes.
You've said Lamar Jackson's a Hall of Famer already.
I'm not arguing my point. I'm arguing against yours.
Your point's not a good one. If you're saying that Kirk Cousins and Lamar Jackson are the same, that's a terrible point.
If you're using playoff success, which you've used.
Yes, I have.
Lamar last year at this time did not have the level of playoff success that he had this year at this time.
Okay.
And yet you wanted Atlanta to sign him, but not Cousins.
I don't remember. Okay. So, all right. I don't know what you want. I mean, Lamar Jackson and Kirk Cousins are not equals.
To think that's a gotcha for me, that's not a gotcha.
I'm not trying to do a gotcha. I'm asking a question. A gotcha? What kind of gotcha? I got you break right now. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
I'm going to give you a couple of teams here. I just want to throw out there. We're going to get some calls in at 888-SAY-ESPN. A lot of people want to weigh in on some of the free agent moves and specifically Kirk Cousins. I'm going to throw out a couple of teams. I'm going to start each of these with what are they, right? In essence, what are the Commanders?
A team that's building?
I mean, I think they're in a good position to break in a young quarterback because of the weapons that they have. And you saw some of the moves they made yesterday. They got Nick Allegretti. They got Tyler Biadasz from the Dallas Cowboys. So they're fortifying the guards and the guard trio. And we know how important that is in terms of the fabric of the pocket for your quarterback in the passing game. So I like the direction that they're going. Like they've got good wide receivers, Terry McLaurin. Mm-hmm. They've got Jahan Dotson. So, I mean, they added Austin Eckler, who's another piece that should help a young quarterback in being a safety valve. So I like what they're setting this thing up for. It's all predicated on making sure that your young quarterback has success. Let's make sure that our quarterback that we take with the second overall pick gets his career off the ground mm-hmm. before we worry about trying to do any high-level winning.
Totally.
What are the Texans right now?
A team that's right there. they're on the precipice. Yeah. I mean, they were a playoff team last year, and it doesn't feel like C.J. Stroud is going to let this team slip at all.
Yeah, the window is C.J. Stroud's career.
I believe that wholeheartedly.
The window is his career.
I believe it.
I mean, like,
so why not double down on that,
well,
though?
Tank Dell is going to come back healthy. Nico Collins was a 1,000-yard receiver last year. Like, I get it. You let Devin Singletary walk out of the door. But I like the moves that they made. I mean, even though you let Jonathan Greenard walk, you bought into Nico Autry, who's a highly productive pass rusher. You went and signed Azeez Al-Shaair, who is a really good inside linebacker. Like, you've got some pieces mm-hmm. on that defensive side of the ball, and I think they're going to continue to improve within the margins. Remember, they also extended Dalton Schultz, you know, before free agency got kicked off last week. So I just think they're trying to set this thing up to fortify the core of their team, and they're going to continue to build through the draft. But I would say this. Based on where they're at right now and having a quarterback on a rookie deal, I would like to see them go out there and make a splashy move. And that splashy move for me is T. Higgins. I know I linked him to the Chicago Bears yesterday, but T. Higgins seems like a guy that's out there for the taking. Mm-hmm. And if you're the Houston Texans, with all the cap space that you got, it just makes sense to go out there and get a bona fide number one wide receiver. Yeah. I mean, I get that you're going to have to pay him, but it will be money well spent considering how good he is and the quarterback that you got throwing him the rock.
I love the T. Higgins suggestion. What about Derrick Henry? I would love for Derrick Henry to go to Houston. I think he'd be an amazing complimentary piece for C.J. Stroud.
I feel like he's heading to Baltimore is what all signs are
he
pointing
to. He feels like a Raven, doesn't yeah. he?
Oh, he definitely does.
He feels like a Raven.
Bruising, big back. Oh,
yeah, he feels like a Raven.
Totally.
Last one, choose your own adventure. You get to pick one of these teams. What are the Dolphins? What are the Titans?
Oh, jeez. Well, the Dolphins.
Not good.
Okay.
How does that work? Not good.
As a blanket statement?
Yeah. Blanket statement, not good. Also, not hyperbolic, they're not going to be in the playoffs.
Neither of those?
Neither.
We know the Titans are not.
Not the Dolphins?
The Dolphins ain't going to be in the playoffs.
Lost too much talent?
Yeah, they lost too much talent. Think about the defensive side of the ball. Think about Vic Fangio walking out of the door. They're not going to be a playoff team. They're not. Like, they're propping up Tua with all of the skill position players that they have, all of the speed they have on the offensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. But those guys are getting more expensive. You're going to have to pay Jalen Waddle eventually. If not, you're going to have to let him walk out of the door. Tyreek Hill making $30 million a year. Yeah, you got Achan and you got Mostert. I mean, like, these guys are getting exponentially more expensive, and it's costing you other pieces. Think about it. Connor Williams is a free agent. You got Robert Hunt, who just signed for $100 million with the Carolina Panthers. So a part of your offensive line is going to be gone, and you're going to have to retool that. You're losing all of these pieces because you're preparing to have to pay Tua north of $50 million a year. And I just don't think that he's a $50 million a year player in terms of making everything around him that much better.
Craig in Michigan, listening on the ESPN app. What's up, Craig?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Look, I just wanted to call in because I heard the conversation about Kirk Cousins, and I was looking this up the other day. There's not one single Hall of Famer that has a better QB rating than Kirk Cousins. I mean, Drew Brees will next year, but, you know, you got Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes 1-2 on the list. Cousins is eight. Like I said, you know, everybody else is behind him. Tom Brady, Lamar Jackson one place behind him. Doesn't mean he's a better player than them, but, you know, and I know he doesn't have a championship, but neither did Matt Stafford until he won one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes we got to give these guys the right situation. Look how long it took Stafford. I mean, sometimes it takes guys years and years to play good, even play good. Geno Smith took him 10 years. So I think, you know, look at his accomplishments. The fact that his QB rating is so high, it's really hard to argue with. And, thanks a lot.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to the last point about Stafford. That's a good one. Pat.
I love that from Craig.
Based on your assessment here, would you have, if you were Atlanta, at the same time that the Rams traded for Stafford, would you have traded for him?
I guess. I don't know. I guess so.
Because that feels like a more similar comp to me. Right, than anything else that has been thrown out there. Stafford had individual success in Detroit, mm-hmm. no long-term significant team success, had a great touchdown-to-interception ratio, goes to the Rams, better team, and obviously wins a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm with you, except Matt Stafford is a better player.
I'm not arguing
he's better
that.
Football. He's a more talented football player.
I'm not arguing that, but did not have the overall success, and that's where it's a tough judgment, I guess.
Sure, but Kirk Cousins, the last six seasons, was not marred in the dysfunction that has been the Detroit Lions
yes.
when Matt Stafford was there. There's no comparison to that. So So it's not an apples-to-apples comparison in terms of them transitioning to their new place. I get it. I understand it. Based on the numbers, if we take this thing by the numbers, I get it. It makes sense to say, okay, he's going to a place that has, you know, good talent on both sides of the ball, seems to be relatively buttoned up, a division that's a low bar to clear. It feels like there's an opportunity to win. I get the comparison there, but that's where it begins and ends.
Yeah.
Because Matt Stafford is an exponentially better football player than Kirk Cousins is.
Mike in Michigan listening on SiriusXM 80. What's up, Mike?
Hello?
Hello there.
Oh, I'm in the Bronx, my bad. Hey, CeCe, man, I was calling to get at you, but you just shut me down with all the points you just made, man. Thank you for making the statements you made. Kirk Cousins does not compare to Matt Stafford whatsoever. And I just think Kirk Cousins, he is what he is. He's average. He's average.
He's not average.
He's not going to move the needle. He's not going to move the needle. That's your opinion. He is average. What has he done?
No, like literally, it's not an opinion. It's not an opinion. Average would make him the 16th best quarterback during the time he's in the NFL. He's not the 16th best quarterback. He's a top 10 quarterback during the time he's in the NFL.
Kirk Cousins is Joe Johnson.
No. I'm not going to say that. You're saying he's a top 10 quarterback from his time in the NFL?
If you look
since 2012, he's a top 10 quarterback?
Statistically, absolutely.
No.
Since he's been a starter?
No, but that's the thing. Like, we can't just go by the numbers. It can't just be statistics.
You have to put context behind the numbers.
Like just because his numbers are better than Tom Brady's numbers in terms of passer rate, but that's what you're saying. You said by the numbers. Like, he has a better career passer rating than Tom Brady does.
He's not average. Come on. He's better than
average. I'm not saying
average.
He's average, but he ain't a top 10 quarterback neither.
He's closer to 10 than he is 16. I promise you that.
I don't know that.
Since when did his first full year study? So we have to look at since 2015, right? That's really when we would look at it. 2015 through, I don't know how we look at last year. I guess through 2022 full years, half of 2023. So 2015 to 2023, that stretch we would have to look at, right? I mean, we know that Rodgers is better. We know that Brady is better in that span. Lamar, Mahomes, Allen.
I don't know where he ranks, but I know he's an upgrade from what the Atlanta Falcons had last year.
I think that's the fair part. Exactly. That's where we need to live at. Like, he's an upgrade, clear and obvious, versus what the Atlanta Falcons had in Taylor Heineke and Desmond Ridder. And that's all you need to justify the decision.
That's it.
Like, he's the best quarterback in the NFC South. That's it.
You had an area of need. He's an improvement of what you had last year, and you went out there and got aggressive and got the best possible option at the quarterback position.
Well, Falcons fans are going to be excited. They're going to be buying a lot of tickets this year to see their team from Vivid Seats, because they are going to have, whether Pat Costello and Nuno like it, a very good team, and Vivid Seats is where you go to buy those tickets.
No doubt. Secure the seats and the memories this year from Vivid Seats. Your home for every touchdown, every dunk, every stolen base. Vivid Seats celebrates fandom with unbelievable and unbeatable rewards like tickets, free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. With Vivid Seats rewards you earn with every purchase, from buzzer beaters to walk-off home runs, Vivid Seats has great selection and great prices on all the games that matter to you. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. Chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
All right, so we made some money in the association last night. Shout out to the Toronto Raptors by not getting blown out. I think they only lost by 6. It was 125-119. As you said yesterday, Ev, The Nuggets don't care about style points. They just want to win the game, and that's exactly what happened. Our two-leg little parlay paid out. A lot of plus money on that one. So we're going back to the association tonight. OKC hosting the Indiana Pacers. So we know one thing when these two teams match up, they're going to be a lot of points scored. So we're going to go over on 236.5 total points in the game, and we're going to parlay that with 4.5 points that the Oklahoma City Thunder are laying. So the Thunder on the spread laying 4.5, and the team point total at 236.5, that plays out at plus 163. You got to buy points for both the total points and the spread, but it'll be well worth it. See if we can try to keep this little win streak alive when it comes to our play of the night.
Love that play.
Just saying.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, we got a bunch today. We got one that will be a big crescendo at the end, I hope.
Ooh, what a tease.
Because I don't like lying, and there may have been some lying. Just saying.
Okay.
All right, so we've been talking a lot about Kirk Cousins leaving the Vikings and going to the Falcons. Well, the guy who's replacing him, at least for now, in Minnesota is Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is a former Jets quarterback, amongst other teams. Sam Darnold was with Josh McCown when they were together with the Jets. Josh McCown is now a coach on the Vikings staff. So now, these two will be reunited. And Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network put out one of the great memes ever when they both, on the bench for the Jets, adjusted their hair at the exact same time.
So an unplanned
hair adjustment, which I just noticed Michelle Smallman adjusted her hair at the same time as these two did without knowing I was going to play this video on ESPNU.
Maybe it was osmosis. I saw it and then I touched my hair. Yeah, it was weird.
You ever do that with any of your teammates, CeCe?
No, never done that.
You never did that.
I'm just going to make this observation. Josh McCown, better hair of hair than Sam Darnold.
Agreed.
Better head of hair. Just saying.
Style better. Style better.
I agree.
Style better. I like the cut. Yeah. Definitely.
All right.
Better look.
Next one. So free agency yesterday. Obviously, tons of fan bases were going all over the place and all nervous. Oh, my God. Are we getting this guy? Are we not? Well, Deion Dawkins of the Buffalo Bills basically pranked his entire fan base because he put something out there on Instagram. It was a good while. It lasted, Buffalo. I can't even read this. Hold on.
It says, excited for this next chapter of my football career. Wonder if it's okay to eat ranch now.
Meaning leaving Buffalo and blue cheese, et cetera, with the wings. So he puts this out there, and everybody's like, wow, they got rid of Deion Dawkins. Literally 5 minutes later, Adam Schefter reported his contract extension. He pranked the entire fan base.
I don't know if I was a fan of the Buffalo Bills, if I was a part of Bills Mafia, how I'd feel about that. I mean, I guess you're glad that you have Deion Dawkins in the fold for the foreseeable future, but I would feel a way about it. Like, why would you do this? Why would you play with my emotions, man?
Not funny, Deion.
Exactly.
Not funny.
Got your money. You know you're going to be around. Why would you play around and put the idea out there that we might have to entertain life without you?
Huh?
I just, as a fan that lives in a glass case of emotions
this
time of year with players defecting, I mean, why would you want to do that? Think about how the Giants fans were on pins and needles about the Saquon Barkley situation and how heartbroken they were when 26 went down the turnpike. Why would you do that if you're Deion Dawkins? Why would you put them through that?
Also, can you not eat ranch in Buffalo? Because that would be problematic for me.
No, blue cheese with wings.
It's
Come
blue
on.
Cheese with the wings.
It's ranch with the wings.
It's blue cheese with the wings.
And I would do it in Buffalo, eat the wings with the ranch, and take all the side eye coming my way. Sorry, yeah, Buffalo, but I'm doing it.
You know what it is, though? I'm a blue cheese with the wings kind of guy, but I like ranch dressing with the loaded fries.
Yeah.
Like if I get the loaded fries with the bacon and the sour cream and the chives and then dip it in the ranch
dressing. That sounds so good.
Oh,
that sounds
so good. It's so good. Absolutely.
So my last moment here.
Makes my inner fat kid smile.
Me too.
So I'm looking at someone's Twitter, and normally they get in the hundreds of impressions on their tweets. And I'm looking at a tweet from yesterday from this person who got 51,000 people looking at this tweet.
Okay.
The Twitter handle is NUNOTEIXEI. And that person tweeted, I swear, if Saquon ends up in Philly, I'm probably not even going to show up to work the rest of the week. That is noted Giants fan, Nuno, our producer, who promised he wouldn't show up if Saquon Barkley was an Eagle.
I said I probably. Just not even show
keyword,
up.
Keyword.
I got to update that profile picture. That was a heavier Nuno, by the way. So I definitely got up to that. Rob, when you're up in Bristol next time, we got to do a photo shoot.
Rob has to do this? Oh, wait, a Nuno photo shoot? I'll go to that. I didn't realize that's what you were saying.
I love how he's using this to recruit Rob to take his photo to update the profile picture.
No, but here's the thing. I'm okay. Based upon what the Giants have done, and I know it's business and things of that nature, if you really wanted him, there was decisions you should have made last year, right? Like, he should have been the one signed, and you would have tagged Daniel Jones, right? But what is agitating me today isn't the fact that he went to Philly and there's a bunch of degenerate Eagle fans that work in radio, but it's Pat being like, your team stinks anyway, so what does it matter where Saquon goes?
True.
Like, you're not allowed to just be agitated that he went to one of your rivals? Like, I'm just hoping now that even more that this Eagles season is a complete utter disaster. What's up?
This is not the issue.
I showed up to work.
Yes, that's the issue.
I mean,
I don't think you should quit. I have no interest in you quitting. I want you to be here.
I play hurt. You I'm not threw like the rest of the there. Guys on this show.
Wow.
I play hurt.
Wow.
Who are you
just
talking
throwing
about?
Javonte and Pat under the bus.
Okay, I was just making sure. I didn't know.
Javonte, Pat, people under Sam, the bus. Mark, thanks for coming in and helping. Helping us out today.
Wow.
I'm just saying, Nuno, borderline lie. You kind of shouldn't show up.
Hyperbole.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Michelle.
I got
your
back, Nuno.
I think you should keep showing up.
Well, Pat just didn't want to do more work.
Pat tweeted about this also. He's like, no, I hope you're kidding, basically. Because then I'm like, wait, why? Pat and Nuno have this beef. Pat's number one priority is not having to do Nuno's work.
Yeah,
that's
I don't
really
want to have to do Nuno's job.
That's really the priority.
Also, I kind of felt bad for you, Evan, because you took a stray from one of our listeners.
Oh, my
followers.
God. Yeah, why am I getting hit on this? I was the one who hyped the tweet for you.
What was the stray? What did they say?
That I was wishing for him not to come in anyway.
Yeah, oh. That happened. That actually happened.
But that's not even true. Nuno and I are great, or at least in my eyes.
Yeah, but
no,
I'm a former Giant. I don't even know how to take it. Like, he's pretending to be heartbroken, but he's really not.
See, that's the thing.
Yeah, good.
Commit to the bit.
You know what I'm saying?
Commit to the bit.
No, because my GM, Joe Shane, went out there and made some moves to help improve the team. Just stay away from J.J. McCarthy in that first round, Joe. Like, so we don't have any issues. Stay away from J.J. But I'm good at this point in time.
You're a coward.
Greeny, up next. We are on to Wednesday. Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.